Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see so many here, actually. It's more than I thought would be here this morning. So it probably means there's a lot more watching us at home. So welcome if you're nice and warm at home. If it was a real surprise when you walked in and it was so cold, it's a good idea. Send your email to the office and they'll put you on the list. And next time, hopefully not a next time, but if it does happen again, you'll get the fair warning to come prepared for this. But hopefully we'll survive. It kind of reminds me of some of the pictures we see, don't we, of churches in Central Asia or something like that at this time of year, where this is the norm, that they can't afford to heat the building or it's not such a good building. And they have to spend the whole of the winter having their services all wrapped up like this. So maybe think about our brothers and sisters in, I don't know, Eastern Europe, Central Asia, places like that, where they have to spend it in a cold church the whole time. So if you're feeling cold today, then yeah, just let God just remind you to pray for brothers and sisters around the world. But here today, we're going to be continuing our series looking at More Than a Miracle, Gospel of John, and the signs that he's put there, written about for Jesus. And today we're going to be thinking about this incident of the healing of a nobleman's son. So this was the second sign, actually, that Jesus did and that's recorded in John's Gospel. So most of us know about the life of Jesus, but let's just recap, ready for where we are, put ourselves on the map for today. So we're thinking about being in Galilee, which is in the kind of the north part of Israel. Jesus grew up in Nazareth, which is on the map there, just down towards the bottom of the kind of Galilee bit. But very quickly, when he started his ministry, he went to Capernaum, which is kind of on the north side of the Sea of Galilee. But today we're talking about something which happened in Cana, which is off to the left there in the Galilee area. But there were other signs that we'll hear about in coming weeks that did also take place around Galilee, on the Sea of Galilee, around it, but also down in Jerusalem, which is south from that little map there. So we're going to read together, or I'll read out this passage in John 4, and this is the account that we're going to be thinking about today. And it says, "Once more, he," that's Jesus, "visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. 'Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders,' Jesus told him, 'you will never believe.' The royal official said, 'Sir, come down before my child dies.' Jesus replied, 'You may go, your son will live.' The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on his way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, 'The fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour.' Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, 'Your son will live.' So he and all his household believed. This was the second miraculous sign that Jesus had performed, having come from Judea to Galilee." So I thought we'd just start off thinking about signs and wonders, which Jesus came back to the man about. And let's just see if there's a difference in what we say there. John, in his gospel, was very clear about why he put these signs here. And that's he wrote that towards the end of his gospel. And it says that here. "Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So Jesus did these signs and miracles, not just to be compassionate to people, to help people where they were, but to be as pointers to him and to who he was and to his mission and gospel that he was bringing to people. And I think we can probably hear, just as Jesus talks about it, just distinguish between a sign and a wonder. So the signs were those things which had a pointing. They were giving out a bigger message. But they were always something which was an unusual occurrence, something which transcended the normal way that we see things happening in nature. This healing is a sign because it doesn't happen in all cases. Otherwise, there would be nothing special about it. The fact that God can heal us, as we've already heard about, is beyond question. But the thing is, whether he will heal in that instance, and by what means and over what timescale he will heal, is for God to decide. The wonders are often a miracle which happens, but doesn't really give such a pointing or something. It's just a general thing which might come out of the ordinary and help people to think there's more to life than this, maybe. A sign probably has got more of a challenge in it that need to respond, but a wonder we can just look at it and say, that's amazing, but doesn't necessarily give us that same challenge to faith. So this is the only time in John's Gospel that he uses wonder, but whenever in the New Testament we see the word wonder in this context, it's always with signs. So the signs and wonders are always there together. But John, as I say, in his Gospel is very clear that the signs have got an extra meaning to them. They're there to point us to Jesus. Okay. So let's have a look. We'll go through just looking at each of these little, break it down a bit, break the passage down, and we'll try and look at it bit by bit and see what it's got to say to us and then pull it all together at the end, I hope. So this first part of verse 46, once more he visited Cana in Galilee where he had turned water into wine. Well, we heard about the turning water into wine the other week and a couple of weeks ago, and John reminds us that this is the same place that Jesus is in now. But in the meantime, he's been into Jerusalem. He's talked with Nicodemus there. He's cleared the temple there. And he's come back through Samaria and spent a few days with the Samaritan town there. They're very different types of signs that took place. One was at a wedding, a really happy occasion. And this is at a much more sadder place where there's a little boy who's potentially dying. And Jesus is asked to step into that situation. But what I think we're seeing here is that Jesus is talking to people in all situations, whether they're happy, whether they're sad, whether they're from a different nation, or whether they're even, as in case of Nicodemus, a teacher. Jesus has got a word for everybody. There's nobody he doesn't want to speak to and give his gospel to. So we start to hear about the royal official whose son lay sick. And as soon as he heard that Jesus was back in to Galilee, into his region, he wanted to go and visit him. But for him, it was still a bit of a trek. He had to go about 25 miles and about 400 meters of climbing to get up from Capernaum by the sea up to Cana, which was up in the hills. He was a royal official, it tells us in the word. And it probably means that he was attached to the kind of court of Herod Antipas, which was in Capernaum. But even though he was this royal official, he came up and kind of put himself at Jesus' feet. He'd probably heard about Jesus, hadn't he? We'd said things had been happening in Jerusalem. There'd been this wedding at Cana. So news of Jesus was traveling around. And he heard that Jesus was a man who was different, and he wanted to hear him, and he was prepared to commit to that. So he took this quite long journey to see Jesus. And when he comes to Jesus, he brings his request to Jesus. And the tense that's written for this is that it was a persistent, continuous asking. So he didn't just ask Jesus once, but he came to him. He'd taken that long journey, and he brought his request to Jesus. So I think the question to us is, are we challenged to, even if it costs us something, to bring what we need to Jesus, to come to him and to carry on requesting those things that we need from Jesus? Maybe it's a change in our life. Maybe it's a change in us. But we want to bring those things and come and be persistent and continuous in our talking to Jesus about these things. And Jesus has possibly a slightly strange response to this request, because he just says, unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. So probably wasn't quite what the man was expecting as he talks to him. But in this passage, or this little phrase, the word you that's used is plural in both times. So he's not just talking to the official. He's probably talking to other people around him as well. The Jewish people who are listening, maybe some had come with this royal official up from Capernaum. And but for the official, it may have been a test of his faith, a challenge to him, that, you know, was he just here to see the miracles, or did he want something deeper out of this? But Jesus, as he says this, he's got probably fresh in his mind the occurrences that have happened in Jerusalem and other places where people have just come to him with that kind of superficial faith that they want to see him work miracles, but they don't appreciate the deeper meaning. And he's had some conversations with people about this. So when he was in Jerusalem, some of the Jewish leaders were talking to him about this. And he had to say, they said to him, what sign will you show us for doing these miracles and these things? That was just after the clearing of the temple. And Jesus answered, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rise up again. He was talking about his body, but he's quite kind of stern with people in that case who should have had a deeper knowledge of the signs and who he was. But he's very gentle with people who are starting their journey from nothing, as it were, and they want to see something, or they just wonder at a miracle or something that opens their eyes and starts them to see who Jesus really is. And so today, for us, when there's people who are just coming to Jesus, he's very gentle, doesn't expect a lot. He's happy to kind of show them things and open their eyes to the wonder of what he's done. But as we get deeper with him, he expects us to understand the signs and to be challenged by that, and to let those challenge us, and to let him take us deeper in our faith with him. So God, I think there are lots of things, if we look out into the world, there's lots of wonders we can see if we look in astronomy, out into the far space, if you look at the way we're made, if we look at nature, there's so many things which can be wonders that we can see and appreciate. And these are the things which maybe start to open our eyes and people's eyes to know that there is a God, to know there's something bigger than that. But the faith that comes, we need to have a deeper faith than that, than just seeing the wonders. We need to see beyond those to take us on a journey that will allow us to see Jesus for who he really is. So Jesus just has that kind of interlude when he says that to people. But the man isn't really, I don't know if he thinks it's a bit deep or it's a bit weird to say that. He's not interested really in that answer at the time, because he just goes on asking, because what's important to him is that his little boy is made better. And the term here is for child, you know, is one of a real close relationship. It's a real term of endearment. So he's really close in to his son here. And obviously he had him on his heart as he wanted Jesus to come down all the way down to the coast and heal him. So he keeps on asking, but Jesus just replies to him that it's okay, basically. Your son is better already. And the father just takes Jesus at his word. He just takes Jesus at his word. He hears what Jesus says. Doesn't come back about anything like, how do you know he's 25 miles away? No, he just takes Jesus at his word. And more than just take him at his word, he acts on that, doesn't he? So he starts to walk off at that time and goes away, doesn't come back. And I think, you know, there's a real faith in that. And there's a challenge for us, isn't it? Do we do that? Do we take Jesus at his word, and not just take him at his word inwardly, but do we act on it? That Jesus has said something, it's going to happen. Jesus has given us this promise, it will come to pass. Jesus knows who we are, and we can just move out in life in the way that Jesus has told us. We have to just live as though we know what Jesus has said, and we act on it, and it shows through in our lives. So the father, by the look of it, waits until the next day. He comes to Jesus with great anxiety, but taking Jesus at his word gives him a real peace, because it looks like it's the next day when he sets off and goes back on his journey. Maybe he was just too tired. It looks like that this healing took place at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Probably got an 8-hour walk. We know things like from the parable of the Good Samaritan. It wasn't always good to be walking around those hills in Galilee and Judah. So perhaps for lots of reasons, he stayed overnight and was starting to go back the next day on this 8-hour journey. He meets his servants or his slaves coming to him, and they tell him, his son's well. So they bring the news, which I guess he was already expecting, because he's kind of taken Jesus at his word. So he was expecting that news, but he gets this confirmation and finds out that not only did Jesus' word have power from where he was in Cana to Capernaum, but it has power instantly to bring healing. Jesus doesn't have to be there. Doesn't have to do anything special. He just speaks the word. So often in the Bible we see the word of God is so powerful right from the beginning. Jesus doesn't have to, God doesn't make things to creation. He just speaks it and it happens. The word of God brings real power. And this man sees that, and he realizes that from the way that the guys tell him that his son was healed at that exact time that Jesus spoke. Okay. We can't put ourselves further away than Jesus can deal with us. Although the boy was 20 miles away, you know, from where Jesus was physically at the time, Jesus was still able to speak and heal that boy, have an effect on him, even though he was miles from Jesus. So is there a result coming out of what happens in this miracle? And yes, we see that the man and all his household believed. The man's faith has grown. First, he just went to Jesus because he'd heard about him working miracles elsewhere. He went to him to ask for help. Second, he takes Jesus' assurance that his son is going to be better at his word, and he walks off on that. And third, his whole household and him have faith. They believe in Jesus. I think we'd probably say they become Christians at that time. And so maybe at this time we don't know what the depth of the faith was for the rest of the household, but we can assume it was the witness of the nobleman as he comes back that enables them to have a starting, at least, faith in Jesus. And it's not unusual in the Bible, is it? We see other places where one person becomes a Christian, but it affects the whole household. So Joshua speaks for his household back in the Old Testament, and he says, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And in the New Testament, in Acts, we see the story of a Philippian jailer. And Paul and, I forget, Silas, I think, were in prison together. And there's an earthquake anyway. They could have escaped, but they don't. But the jailer goes and tends to them. And it says that Paul spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. And immediately he and his family were all baptized. So God has got a heart for families, wants to see families come to God together. And it's good for us to share and to witness to what God has done in our lives, for ourselves and for our families. And this man had done that, and we see the whole household believing in God because of it. So it says this was the second sign, as we said, that happened at Cana in Galilee. This time it was over the little boy, but before that it was kind of inanimate objects. He turned water into wine. Jesus has got power over nature, power over lives. It just shows the power of Jesus in so many different ways. But the signs have an effect that's beyond just the sign itself. And in both these signs, we see that people are prompted to trust. So the first time we read it was the disciples believed in Jesus because they saw the sign and they saw what it was pointing to. And in this case, we saw it was the man and all his household saw the sign, what it was pointing to, and believed in Jesus. So the signs don't just, as we've said, have an effect on themselves, but it's what they point to. And as we go through this series, we need to see that these, we can see the miracles and we can marvel and maybe wonder at what the miracles are in themselves. But what we need to do is to see what they're saying about the person, the man who is able to carry those out. And if it doesn't deepen our faith in Jesus and challenge us about walking closer with him, then we've probably missed some of what these signs and miracles are about. But Jesus doesn't just want us to be following him because we've seen the signs. He wants us to have a relationship with him, to get to know him. And we need to be ones who've got that relationship with Jesus. And if you haven't got a relationship, if you don't know Jesus, you may be like the man at the beginning and know about Jesus, but you don't know him, don't have a relationship with him, then I'd really urge you this morning. We're going to have a bit of a time and space just to think about this, but really use that time just to think about, where are you with Jesus? What does he mean to you in your life? Is he just the miracle worker? Is he somebody who's distant? Or is he somebody that you know and you want to walk closely with day by day? Just remember where you are. You might be on a part of that journey. And God just wants to take you a little bit further on. Maybe you just, you know, as the man was, just heard about Jesus. Then he went to bring requests to Jesus. But then he came to really know Jesus. Maybe we just need to think, are we moving on in that journey with Jesus day by day? Because if we only look to Jesus for what he can do for us, then we're trying to make Jesus a bit of a servant of ourselves, rather than the other way around, which is what honors God, is when we say we're servants, we submit to Jesus, we honor him. So we're not trying to put Jesus into the place we want him to be. We're trying to put ourselves into the place that Jesus wants us to be. So we're going to think about believing and trusting in Jesus. I'm sure we know that he can be there in the good times and the bad times. We've probably got promises that we've read about in the Bible that we know Jesus has given. And maybe we might be able to, you know, roughly recall what it is or roughly recall where we could find it. But maybe we want to start off this year and commit to learning some of those promises of Jesus for ourselves, that we can take them with us. And then when we face times that are difficult or we face things where we're not sure, maybe we're just out and about, but we'll have God's word and his promises for us in our hearts and in our minds, that we can remember to do it. So I've been decided I would try and do this a bit more this year. And I've looked around for things that could help me. Sorry, I should have put that up earlier. So I've found this little app which helps me to memorize verses of the Bible. You put your own, it's called Versify, sorry, it's not very clear there. But it's for your phone, Apple or Google. You put some verses in and it's like playing a little game. It gives you different ways of trying to help you to remember the verses. So you choose which verses you want to put in there, and then it helps you to remember them. And just as we come to the end, just before we go into a time of worship again, this is a mechanism, but we just want to go through some verses which have helped me over the years. I'm just going to read them out quietly. They'll come up on the slides. Just think about them. Maybe there's some there as we go through. Just remember the reference. You can then look it up again and try to learn them. But I'm sure you've also got verses that God has given you over the years that are really helpful to you. And I'd really be encouraging you to remember them and to learn them so that they can be with you immediately when you face some situation that needs extra support from God. So we'll do that, and then just at the end we'll go back into a time of worship. So there's about 9 or 10 verses. If you guys want to come up sometime during that, then we'll just go into time of worship together afterwards. So I'm just going to read these out slowly. If you want to think about these verses, that's great. If you want to think about other verses that God's given you, then do that. if you need to just spend the time thinking about where am I at the start of this year with Jesus, and do I need to see those signs pointing me deeper into him, then use the time for that. Let's just listen through these verses now. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that anyone should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And finally, these ones. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. And Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And finally he says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Amen.